So, last time we had covered
two chairs.
Thank you. You guys feel these things? They're short people like me. Okay. So, we're moving on in the Birkas HaShachar section of davening. Now we're going to pick up with the next bracha that we say is the bracha of Asher Yotzer. And this particular bracha, as we are well aware, and once again, just to reiterate, like we said last week, we're not really going through the halachos of these brachas right now that you're going to be doing and are doing during Halacha Seder, actually. So there's a nice correspondence in time. But you know, we're just going to try to go through, and even though this particular thing actually is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, what we're going to do right now, but going to go through some of the thoughts and ideas, you know, behind the different brachas that are there. And Asher Yotzer obviously is also a bracha, aside from being part of the Seder of Birkas HaShachar that we say in the morning, but obviously is also a bracha that does come up for some people many times a day, for other people sometimes during the day, etc. And lo aleinu, for some people it comes up less frequently than that. But certainly is kedai to understand a little bit what the payers of the Asher Yotzer is, and therefore we would be able, or if so, we would have the ability to say it with a little bit more kavana and an understanding. So so we're going to take a look first at a very interesting a perush in the Shulchan Aruch. This actually is mostly brought in the tour. There are parts of it that are changed and discussed by the Shulchan Aruch and by the other mefarshim here. But let's point out that if both the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch thought it was so important to write out a Perush and what the Baruch of Asher Yotzer actually means, so there's an implicit message that's there, that they're trying to tell you that this is something that actually is very important. The Hakaras HaTov that we have to the Ribono Shalom, the Hodah that we're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the things described in the Asher Yotzer become very central. So there are a lot of brachas that we say. Interestingly enough, again, I'm not sure so familiar with learning some of the classics that are out there. If you look in the tour will tend to explain and elaborate a lot more on the different tefillos and brachos that are there. The tour gave a lot of background and ideas. And in many parts, when we get up to Shemoneh Esrei later and other parts of Davening, the tour actually really gives pirushim on, small pirushim, but pirushim on the different tefillos that we find. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't do that. The Shulchan Aruch really limits himself to telling over what the halachos are. But yet, over here in Siman Vav, even in the Shulchan Aruch, we have a running commentary on the Asher Yotzer, and that really does highlight the importance of that particular bracha. Certainly, when we see what the parish is, we realize how we call all-inclusive the bracha of Asher Yotzer is, and therefore, like I said, really behooves us to say with a little bit more of a kavan and focus. So let's begin. The Mechaber brings Kishiyotzim Beis Akise Yivarech. When you leave the bathroom, you would say the following bracha: Asher Yotzer Esa Adam Bechachma. Kadosh Baruch Hu created. He was Yotzer. He created a person with chachma. Now he, instead of bringing down the entire bracha, the Mechaber sort of assumes you know what the bracha is. So he just tells you line by line what the bracha means. Again, if you don't have a sheet, then tough noogies, but try to look inside. Asher Yotzer Esa Adam Bechachma. Bria Sa'adam, he bechachma nifla. The creation of man, the Bria, the creature that mankind is, was made with a chachma nifla, with a wondrous amount of wisdom. V'yesh mefarshim, some explain, Hashem shaguf domela nod mali ruach. Some explain that the chachma that we see that's involved in the Bria of a person is that the person's guf is domed to a node. It's compared to a flask. Mali ruach, that's filled with air. Vuhu mali nekavim, kedilkelman besamach. And it's also filled with a lot of different holes, like we're going to describe later on in the bracha. Now, we would normally assume, if a person is going to blow up a flask or a balloon or something like that with a lot of air, and then you have a hole somewhere in the middle of the flask with a lot of air, so that's a recipe for all that air coming out, right? Like when I play a mean trick on like the kid who spends all the time blowing up like the raft to go on the beach, whatever it is, and you stick a little pin in the thing. So that's okay, you know. So eventually the guy's going to be whatever, you know, 20,000 leagues under the sea if he's not playing his cards carefully. But yet the human being, despite all of the things that are inside the person, and despite the fact that he does have holes that are there, there are punctures, so to speak, in that flesh. But yeah, we don't really ever find that the person just like sort of oozes out of those different little, you know, opportunities that are there. V'yesh mefarshim b'chachma. Some say that the phrase b'chachma, the wisdom, is shehiskin mizonosov shel adam harishon v'cherkach b'ro'o. The chachma was evidenced in the Maaseh Bereishis, where Kadosh Baruch Hu first created all the things necessary to sustain people, and then the bria of coming back to the very beginning of time of Adam HaRishon was only done at a time when he had everything that he could possibly want already there at his disposal. Sometimes, so you can have people who are not as intelligent as Ribbono Shel Olam and do something that could even be silly. You make something, you have no way to keep it going, no way to, you know, to deal with it, or whatever it is. So that's not so intelligent. The person buys a pet, and you bring home your pet, a dog, or your gerbil, whatever it is, to show off to, you know, to your parents, and then you just like happen to forget the fact that the gerbil needs a cage, right? Or that you have to have like fish food for the fish. You've all been in that thing, like you have like the little like carnival affair in school, and you get the goldfish in like a bag, you know, bring it home in the cup. Right, and you walk home like, hey, what am I going to do with this now? Look cute, like when I had it, but like, what exactly am I supposed to do?
They never get food.
What was that? That's what I used an example. I remember once here in Telstone, they had one of these school fairs. They gave out little chickens, and there was a period of day. Yeah, like every kid in Telstone had like had two little chickens that they came home with. And so,
what was that? Like toy chickens.
Like chickens, like.
Why? Like,
no, they were little chicks, and, you know, and so there was like a day, like it was like. It was one of these, for like a day or two after that, like all the just like death was rampant. And you tell us that dead chicks like all over the place. Like, you don't know what to do with them. Like, everyone came home, like, what is that to do with
this? Got headaches.
So, what was that? Yeah. So.
I mean, everyone got headaches those two.
What was that? I think I had headaches, but like, you know, no one quite knew. My kids felt very attached to their chickens, so we actually went and we bought them more chickens, whatever it was, and we had pet chickens for a while. What was that?
Then the bird chicken.
Yeah, the chickens were longer. We were whatever. So I enjoy animals. And not to say, no, it was a scene. Like, it was a scene, though. The chicken did. They haven't done it yet since then. What? Anyone who had kids in the Beis Yaakov, which is like everybody here in town, right? Lots of like a lot of noise like around there. Whatever, it was cute. Now, now we have another understanding of the Perush of Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't do that. He didn't send you here into the world like a chicken without any chicken food, a fish without any fish food. Yeah, anything a person needs is here in Olam Hazeh. Barabo nekavim chalulim chalulim. He created a person with different holes and different kinds of passages. The chalal means like an open space. Perush. Nekavim rabim. You have a lot of different holes or orifices, they say in English. Kagon peh, the chotem, peh tabas. You have your mouth, you have your nostrils, you have the whatever the thing is called, the anal hole, whatever that's called. Vegam barabo ivarim rabim chalulim. You also have a lot of hollow Eivarim, hollow limbs in the person, the lev, the keres, the mi'ayim, a person's heart, a person's spleen, a person's intestines, im yisasem echad mehem, because we know if one of them was to be stuffed up, kilomer, shebe nekavim yesh nekav echad shua peh. For example, when it comes to the nekavim in a person's body, so if we take the example of a person's mouth, shekishehu b'me'eimo husasem, when the person is there in utero, when the person's there before he's born, the person's mouth is stuffed up. In other words, the little baby inside is not sucking in all the fluids that are there inside of his mother. But we know when the person leaves the mother's belly and comes out into the world, all of a sudden the mouth is open, he starts to breathe. But if the baby remained the same as he was inside the womb as when he comes out, if the mouth was still sealed like that, well, lo haya efshali skaima filo sha'achas. You won't be able to live at all. You have to breathe. One of the first things the baby does, you hear the big, you know, gap, and you hear they pat him on the back to make sure things are going okay. The evarim achalulim and the Eivarim Achalulim, the limbs that a person and the organs that a person has that are hollow inside, Im Hayaniftach Echad Mehem, if one of them would have been open, again, just to try to just make sure we are understanding that the parish of the bracha, Im Yisaseim Echad Mehem, O.
Either clogged or.
Have at that. Yeah, so im yipaseach echad mehem o yisaseim echad mehem. Right, so we're explaining now that the difference. We just explained im yisaseim echad mehem. We have both things. On the world of Nekavim, we have the idea im yipaseach echad mehem, if the mouth would have been opened up when the baby's inside, so he's going to suffocate and drown and die. Okay, that we don't want to happen. Im yisaseim echad mehem. On the other hand, when the child is born, right, the exact opposite is true. If the mouth wasn't able to be open and function, he'd be in trouble. We also have, that's when it comes to the nekavim that are there in the person. When it comes to the chalulim, right, the hollow areas inside the person, that was a reference of some of the various organs. Now we explain the two issues that are there also. If one of those things would have been opened up, so then obviously the person can't really survive. If your intestines aren't shaped like intestines, like the kishkis that hold all this stuff inside, so you just have a lot of like icky stuff floating around your whole body, poison, and that's not so good. Od yesh lefayish, you have another idea. Shegavul yesh la'adam shecholim nekavim lisasim velo yomas. A person has a certain limit to where his different nekavim can be closed without dying. Keep going, for example. If you would pass that, you wouldn't be able to survive. So, for example, the person has. I'm just going to explain a little. Let's just read inside his explanation. A part of the nekavim, the holes in the person, refer to the anus and to the urinary tract, the urinary hole, whatever we would call it. And in terms of the limbs the organs that a person has, the things that we don't want to get open, they're stuffed up. You have, let's say, for example, your belly, the spleen or the intestines. The shevach that we're saying to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which really, really, really is a generic, universal kind of a praise. We're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for our creation, for our ability to exist and the fact that we're here. But there certainly are parts of that bracha that have a certain connotation, as a tourist, as the Mechaber says, with the whole excretion system. Excretory system, right? Try that again, Vanna. Come on. There you go. Okay. With the whole excretory system. So there, we isolated, the Mechaber says, that particular bracha to the times that a person is a siyas sarachav, he's doing his needs, taking care of his excretory necessities. V'efshar od. And there's another pshat that's possible to say also. Okay? You have another extreme. On the one hand, like we explained a second ago, if the person holds himself back too much, if the person couldn't go to the bathroom, so he's going to be able to be poisoned. It's a gvul that we said that if you cross that, it's you got a problem. There's another idea. If you end up having to go to the bathroom way too much, you could have the exact opposite kind of phenomenon. A person could end up being so when he has an extreme dysentery or something like that. The person can have a lot of the excretory function, but it's like a little bit like overboard over here, right? So you're going and going and going and going and going, and then you're gone, right? As they say, like there's just nothing that, whatever, right? We understand, okay? We don't have to be overly, what's the word? Descriptive or graphic, thank you. So we wouldn't want that to be taking place either. So that's bechlau. We include that in the idea of in the pasach echad. If one of them got opened up, meaning to say, if it gets like a little too open, close that faucet. Sorry, no plumber to call, and you're in trouble. That's a literal shevach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu about the idea of going to the bathroom. Not just something that's associated with, but that's mamish a shevach of, hey, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're taking care of me. And not having me die from either one of those two extremes that could take place with that whole system. We speak about a Kadosh Baruch being the Rofe. And here's a discrepancy in what the Nusach is. Either Rofe Kobasar Mafilaisos, Rofe Chole Kobasar. So we say, Hashem Ha Nikovim Shebara Lalahotsas Psulo Psoles Machalo. We bless Hashem that He's the Rofe Kobasar, the healer, the doctor of all flesh, because, as we just explained, if a person wasn't able to get out the excrement, wasn't able to get out the poison and the garbage that's there inside of his body, so he's going to be in trouble medically. If the, all of that excrement just rotted away inside of his stomach, yomas, he's going to die. Getting rid of that is a very, very clear, a very clear act of refuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping to heal the person and keep him going. The end of the bracha, Rofe Kobasar Umafli Lasos. Hashem does wondrous things. Now here we're going to have a couple of pirushim. Ibn Sha Adam Domin Lano the Mali Ruach. We explained before that a person is compared to the node, the flask that's filled with air. Im Yase Echa Benod, the neck of Kahuda Shomaka, the Machat, Ruach Yotze. We know that if a person punctures a flask or the blow up raft, like we described earlier, all the wind is going to come out. The person is filled with so many holes, but yet all of his ruach stays inside of him. That is an amazing thing. Another pele in the human body is the fact that the body has the ability to be mavarier, to what's the word, to file out, or to file.
Filter out.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. To filter out all of the things that are good out of a piece of food, and to be docha, and to just get rid of, to push out all of the garbage and all of the poison things that are there. And again, those are wondrous functions of the human body. The Ramah adds another parish that's their Mafli Lasa. It's a very famous parish of the Ramah. As they point out in the parentheses at the bottom of the Ramah, this is the Ramah's own pshat in the bracha. Od Yesh Lefarish, another pshat is Shemafli Lasos. The wondrous thing that Hashem does in our body is Lasos Bemesh Shomer. Excuse me. Oh, the Mafli Lasos Bemesh Shomer Ruach HaAdam Bekirbo. The fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu guards the ruach, the soul inside the body, Kosher Dover Ruchni Bedover Gashmi. He's able to tie together, to synthesize, to combine a spiritual thing inside of a physical goof, which really shouldn't be able to exist, shouldn't be able to work. Hakol hu al yideshu rofei kol basar. And that's all because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the rofei kol basar. What does that mean? Again, this is a pshat in both of those expressions. Oz ha'odna b'kafa b'riyas v'nishmaso mishtemeres b'kirbo. If a person is healthy and a person is living the way he's supposed to live, his neshama will be able to be maintained inside of his guf. If the person is not healthy, Rachman Aleitzlan, to the degree that the person actually is mega not healthy, the person actually might, God forbid, die of an illness, so we know then obviously the person's neshama leaves from his guf. But the rofei kol basar, the fact that the Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps you so healthy and so cured and so okay in this world, mafli lasos, that's what enables us to have this wondrous thing, the two parts, the two facets of the person's existence, they really are contradictory, really don't work all that well in each other, but they're able to coincide. You can have a neshama, a physical thing that exists with, excuse me, a spiritual thing that exists within a physical goof, and that really is a pellet. Now again, when we stop and think, we get so used to certain things that we don't appreciate the fact that they actually really are wondrous. So for example, right, we're all used to the world of physical things. No one walks outside necessarily and goes like berserk, and maybe we should, but we don't go berserk when we see a tree, when we see an animal, a rock, whatever. You know, okay, there are brios that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, and it's so easy to look at ourselves or other people as like, okay, so there's some more stuff in the world. You have, you know, the dog, the orangutan, the cheetah, you have that guy, you have the people walking around, you see a lot of different things at the zoo, right, including the people walking around in between all the cages, and you walk, okay, you got a lot of stuff that's there. But to appreciate the idea that that human being has a neshama inside of him, that human being is a physical thing, dome it to all of the other things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, but yet, at the same time, is so much more elevated, so different, totally, totally, fundamentally different than anything else that's there. Now, that really is a pellet. It's an amazing, amazing, wondrous thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam does. Yeah?
What if you have someone that's like in between? Half animal if you
move. Oh, no, no. Oh, like you have somebody that, for the most part, like they work, but they have something like actually big wrong with them, like a bad diabetes or something.
Again, not everything is always perfect, but the chachma and the basic systems are there, and sometimes a person writes, sometimes a person is afflicted. There are tzaras, or not everything is perfect.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like diabetes is something like a basic system that's messed up.
And you're asking, well, therefore, why should the person make an ashi yatzar, then you're claiming?
Like that, yeah.
Because overall, things really are okay.
You wouldn't like exclude like certain parts of the
brachado? Yeah, no, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that, yeah. Right, a great question. So I think that was alluded to a little bit in the tour before, and he said it like as a remez. He said that the fact that part of this whole thing about the kavim, the chalulim, and imi paseach echamim or yisasim echamim relates either in a general sense to going to the bathroom or in a specific sense to the bathroom. So there, we appreciate, like we experience that function like a little bit more. In other words, you don't have to make a bracha of shalom asani isha all day long, right? That's like, okay, you know, there's a limit. Like, we got that, okay, we moved past that, and so whatever it is. When we talk about the brachas, we're going to, you know, mention there are some kashas. The Chavetz Chaim asked the kasha, why do you make that bracha every day, or make a shalom asani goy every day? Like, you know, you make it at your bar mitzvah, and that's, or, you know, that's it. Like, you did that. So there are discussions about those things, but asher yotzer is something that it is experienced like a little bit more than the other brachos. Yeah. We'll talk about that also. It's a famous tosis in Masechet Brachos. Well, we'll get to that also. Good question. Yeah.
Bigger question, like a lot of times, in, like especially like Sukkot, like you'll hear things like, you know, Adam, or just like dirt or nothing, and you're sharing like this, where it's like, no, we're walking here, but like, where do you? Like, what is the line there? Like,
they're both true.
Like what? How do you deal? Like, it's not like nothing, though.
It's like,
what's the...
When we speak about an Adam being a, you know, Adam Yisod me'afar, like that, or Sofa me'afar, what we're trying to express is when you look at a person, lu'umat the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you look at a person in comparison to what perfection actually is. So you know what? Like, don't be such a big bagayv. Like, realize that like whatever you have is like really a big nothing. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch is running your entire life, doing everything, and you're really like whatever.
Anyway, if you realize that you were a walking miracle every day, you wouldn't be such a big
nothing. No. So on the other hand, the person has to recognize that he there are many wondrous things and many miracles about him. But in comparison to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, the person really is a nothing. If we look at a person and say, you know, who are you to have a right to sin against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? How could you not listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Like, look at you. All those miraculous and wondrous things that you have, bottom line is, are still given to you by Him. Right? So that idea of like being a nothing really just means in comparison to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? When He's put those two things together, you got to realize, hey, wait a second, there's an incredible imbalance. But no, no one would deny the idea that these are pesukim and chumash, that the bria of a person was an amazing thing. Okay, that was a little bit about a, you know, some of the ideas behind the Ashi Yatzar. Again, it took us slightly longer than the like 2 seconds it says to make the bracha every time we make it, but you know, perhaps it's kedai like just to think through the ideas and maybe read through this, you know, Machaber and the Ramah once or twice more. When you actually are familiar with the ideas, it's much easier to like think about them quickly while you're saying the words. In other words, the words take on a different meaning once you sort of internalize the perushim behind what the bracha is all about. The next bracha after we say Nashiyot, so we speak about the bracha of Elokai Neshom Hashem Hatzati V'Tahori. Okay, so I didn't put on the sheet over here yet, but perhaps I'll try to amend the sheet a little bit more next time. So let's speak a little bit about the Elokai Neshama. Now, the next couple of things we're going to be speaking about are very, very directly coming out of a Gemara Brachas and Daf Samach. That's where most of the Birkas HaShachar are found. So we'll talk for a moment about the institution, so to speak, of the Birkas HaShachar. And then we'll get back in a second right after that to the Elokei Neshama that we're saying. The Torah brings down the idea where are the words I'm looking for. Right at the very, very beginning. The Torah says, I'm going to tell you about, the expression is very interesting. The Torah says, we're reading from the beginning of Simen Mem Vav. The Torah says, I'm going to tell you about the Nusach Abracho Shemavarachim B'Shachar. I'll say, listen to how he describes what the Birkas HaShachar are. I'll say there, Ha'olam V'Hanhagoso. Brachos about the order of the world and how the world is run. And I'm going to give you a Tamla Kolachas V'Achas. I'm going to give you the reasons behind them, etc. But the brachos that we make early in the morning, the Torah says are brachos, aseder ha'olam vehan hagaso, brachos about the order of the world, okay, the nature of the world, and the running of the world, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs. With Mishnah Brura of the Chofetz Chaim quotes basically that idea also here in the beginning of Simen Mem Vav. Kol ha'brachos eila him mishum da'asel ala adon lehanas min olam hazeh b'li bracha. We know that the Chazal tell us you can't be nene from this world without making a bracha to Hashem. And if you do get a hanah from this world without a bracha, it's like you're being moel behektish. Okay? And he quotes the Gemara that expresses that idea. So he says as follows. So all the things that a person is going to be nene from in this world, a person can walk, see this, that, get up, exist, and so on and so forth. Tiknu chachamenu zabracha kol dover v'dover mehanhaga sa'olam sh'odan nene mimeno. The Chazal instituted a bracha of all the different things that the person is nene from, that he enjoys and benefits from throughout the course of his day. Now, interestingly enough, there is a Rambam. The Rambam brings down Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tefillah that there are 18 Birkas HaShachar corresponding to the 18 brachas of the Shemona Esrei. Now, the truth is, if you look through the brachas you make in the morning, we're going to find that there are seem to be more than 18 brachas that are there. Rishonim who speak about this, number. Which is definitely found in various Rishonim. They give lists. This one is counted. This is part of the Birkas HaShachar, that part of the brachos that are there. Again, everyone agrees that we say all the different things. We make an Anot Tikkun Seidayim in the morning. You make an Asher Yatzer. The question is, are they part of the section called Birkas HaShachar, or are they just their own random independent brachos? Be that as it may, Lamaisa, we do make a bit more than 18 brachos in the morning, but that's a correspondence, an idea that the Rishonim do mention. The question that I want to start this bracha before we do chosat the meeting. Yeah.
Why don't we make a bracha before we do everything? Like, for example, when we were in a lot, why don't we make a bracha before we go in the next pool?
So the Birkas HaShachar that we make in the morning cover most of the stuff that a person would do in his life, specific things and experiences. What was that? The question: what do they fall under? In other words, an actual Birkas Hanen in itself, right? We make when we're getting a physical hana, we're ingesting something into our body. The other random enjoyments the Chazal didn't institute a particular bracha for. The Birkas HaShachar are like the Torah says, a seder ha'olam hanagasa, the things that are part of the natural order, the everyday events that go on all the time that we have to recognize are part of our recognition that life is not just natural and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing different things for us. But they're not Birkas HaNen in the sense that you're not allowed to do this before you make a bracha. In other words, you're allowed to stand up before you make the bracha of Zokif Kefufim or whatever walk before you say a Mechim Mitzadei Gavir. The brachas on the Seder HaOlam, like recognizing that life comes from the, what do you call, from the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, so the first that most seem to assume as part of the Birkas HaShachar is Elokai Neshama. So the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch bring this lashon, the lashon of the Gemara, Kishiyei or Mishina. So when the person gets up out of his sleep, so he has to say Elokai Neshama Shunasati, be Tahori, the Neshama that you gave me is Tahora. Taking this part of the Siddur for a second, so we can originally talk about this particular bracha. So let's talk about a couple of ideas that are, you know, that are here. The just to run through again, what I can do is by all the brachos, that some of the things are important for us to, you know, to think through. We should note that the moda ani that a person says in the morning is actually not medina de gemara. The gemara doesn't speak about saying the bracha moda ani, but the clear thing that the gemara does say that a person makes a bracha to about a kadosh baruch in the morning that speaks about just the idea of waking up and being alive is the Elokai Neshama. Now, there's a couple little interesting diyukim that are here. Elokai Neshama shenasad to be tahori. The neshama is something that is tahora. The neshama is something that is pure. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu created us something that was intrinsically good, something that was intrinsically pure, spiritual, right, sublime, by nature. I always think every single day about a jab that my wife took at me once, which has become part of my regular davening repertoire. I was up early one morning, and my wife was still in our room, and I was, outside, saying the bracha. Usually, I say whatever the reason is, I say the bracha was earlier in the morning, and so I must have been saying it a little bit out loud. No, the kind, the shemeshan, and so she screams out from the room, and it just like really it was like a great line. She said, that's great. You can say that at 6 o'clock in the morning, but can you still say that at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? Meaning, when we speak about we wake up in the morning, and we're tahorim, and everything is like great. Person has to remember also that is beautiful to think about that when we're, just woke up and we're getting out of bed and whatever it is. But Lamaisa, that's something that we want to maintain for ourselves. Like a person should realize that that's a little bit of a mission statement. The tahara, the purity that a person has, like should be something that can remain with him throughout the day. Let's try to avoid doing things during the day that are metame ourselves, that bring ourselves down like that. So let's appreciate what we have. Like we're starting off with something that's very special. I'm not going to go through the next Lashon so carefully. Ata barasa, ata yetzarta, you created it, you formed it. Those are two different Lashonos of how the Ribbono Shel Olam makes things. Again, there are a lot of different nuances in those words. Perhaps at a different time we're going to speak about that. I really want to get to something else over here. Ata nefachta bi is an obvious reference to the Pesukim and Chumash that describe at the Bri of Adam HaRishon that Vayipach v'apav nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into Adam HaRishon in Neshama, and that's what keeps us alive. Okay, here's a very interesting thing. The we say, "Ata osin li to love me, you're going to take the Neshama away from me. Ulahachzira bi li osin love, and you're going to give it back to me. The osin lost your love. You're going to give it back to me in the future." There's one time. There's a true story. The Chavetz Chaim. Well, let's look back up like a little bit in. Despite what has become like a pretty universal practice today, which was definitely not a universal practice for most of Jewish history, today just about everyone in the world has a minhag. They say what's called Kabbalah Shabbos on a Friday night. The different psukim and the different part of Tehillim, L'chadodi, and those things. So that was a minhag that was originated by the Mekubalim of Tzfat, a number of years back, about 500 something years ago. And some of the Sfaradim used to say, many of the Hasidim had maintained that practice. Litvish people in Lithuania, and Litvish country, Ashkenazim from Germany, didn't, or Yekis from Germany, didn't have the practice of saying Kabbalah Shabbos. That was a relatively new post-Holocaust thing that like everyone just sort of started, saying that like that. After the Holocaust, there was a lot of like melting, things, that started to exist. That's when people sometimes, if you get disturbed, they go to like this, this yeshiva, that shul, some of you might have experienced this in B'nai Brak, like that you'll say Kabbalah Shabbos on your own, and then no one really sings the Chadodi, and there's Mincha, and whatever is in Meirev. So that was always the practice in Litta. Okay. And he went to shul for Meirev, or whatever, it's Friday night, then he went back home for Kiddush. And so in many of the yeshivas, what they did during that time, when Shabbos was beginning, that was a time where there was just see how certain things historically not that we care so much about the history part, but blended together, there was a classic time that there was some kind of a shmuz or some kind of a sichas musar, a shkafa talk, whatever it was that was given in a yeshiva. That's the start of Shabbos with a little bit of an inspiration and like that.
Exactly.
Now, the Bemedlik, we say that the tour brings down light based on a Gemara Gittin, that we just want to remind ourselves some of the halachas of lighting Shabbos candles. Now, a lot of us today, if you dive in Kabbal Shabbos late, so it doesn't really have that much of a meaning anymore, because like you can't really fix anything after it's that stage in the game. But in theory, a person should say that the Kabbal Shabbos tefillah is before Shkia time. So that's where the practice of the Rav or whoever was, giving a talk on Friday night during davening came from. That was also part of the repertoire of Friday night. Okay, that was just the background to the story that we're about to tell. Friday night in Radin. Radin, of course, is synonymous with Chavetz Chaim. Okay, and so the Chavetz Chaim gave a shmooze in his house on Friday nights, and Yibachon from the yeshiva used to go. And I'm sure not all of them went, but some people used to go. And so the Chavetz Chaim had said during a shmooze one Friday night, I have a tremendous, tremendous sod that I want to reveal, a tremendous secret that I want to reveal to people. And if people come back to my house, that I think that was 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, one of those two times, they'll come back to 3 o'clock tonight, or near 3, and I'm going to be megalah something very, very important, very, very important. And everyone understood that since the Chavetz Chaim was so devoted to the Emes HaMashiach and bringing a tshuva to Klal Yisrael and helping people be better themselves and be as good as they possibly can, they thought he was going to be Megala, something very, very major about the Emes HaMashiach and the Acharis HaYomim and like that. So that particular Friday night at 3 o'clock in the morning had a lot of people showing up at the Chavetz Chaim sex. Okay, many more people were there than were actually at the shmooze that was given during the regular time on Friday night. So the Chavetz Chaim said the following thing. It's such a beautiful idea. He said, "We make the bracha at the nefachti bi at the meshamra bikir bi at the osi litulami many lachzira bi leosi lava." And he paused, and no one was quite sure. Like, yes, we do that every day. Like, what exactly, why am I here at 3 o'clock in the morning? Like, to hear that, like, what's the thing? So the Chavetz Chaim said, did you hear what you just said? And he repeated the bracha again. Okay. I'm getting a little groggy. I'm terrible, not clapping something over here. Then the Chavetz Chaim explained afterwards. And we saw that people weren't clapping what he said. He said, listen carefully to the words. We said, "Ata ustin lit lami meni." You're going to take my neshama away from me sometime in the future. Okay, we know that's what happens to people. Lachzira bi la'asilav. You're going to return it to me in the future. You're going to return it to me b'yomos haMashiach. So said the Chavetz Chaim. Now listen very carefully to what's going to happen. What's going to be returned to me b'yomos haMashiach? Huh? My neshama. So says the Chavetz Chaim, but listen to what you just said. Listen very, very carefully. Sometimes people think that B'yamos HaMashiach, right, the time of when we're going to live forever, etc., all of that, all those big things that are going to go on later, everything's going to be perfect, everything's going to be great, everything's going to be amazing, tzaddikim, and all this. Says the Chavetz Chaim, listen very carefully what we say. At the Asid Lita Lavin, you're going to take my neshama away from me. Lachzira bi la'asid Lavin. You're going to return it to me in the future. What are you going to return to me? That neshama that you took from me at the end of my life, that's going to be given back to me. And said the Chavetz Chaim, understand, you're going to be stuck being who?
You.
Being you, right? For a darn long time in the Asid Lavo. So you better get your act together now and fix yourself up. A lot of chizuk, a lot of tshuva, a lot of growth. Because forever down the line, when that neshama comes, you're not going to get someone else's neshama. You're not going to get Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama. You're not going to get that Reb Chaim Brisker's neshama. You're not going to get anything more than whatever you've done over here in your life in this world. That's going to be taken away. That's who you're going to be stuck with. Wake up and realize the Chavetz Chaim said this is a big thing. You got a lot of work to do. People are so mixed sometimes in the fact that everything's going to be good or whatever is later, and that's not always true. Realize that we have a big, big responsibility. That's a very, very important muster for a person to be thinking through during the during those defining times in the morning when we're waking up and sort of charting out a course for ourselves for the rest of the day. on something that really is very, very, at least I think, very powerful and important to be thinking through. So that's a little bit about the bracha of the Elokai Neshama that is there. And let's start off with the Chavos HaTamei. That clock is fast.